Welcome to the Oddity Shop, where the bizarre is always on sale.
Welcome back to the Oddity Shop, everybody. This is the podcast where we tell you creepy, odd, weird, strange, bizarro stories from around the world. I'm sitting here with Kara, whose stomach is also talking to us this morning. Morning.
Wow.
Evening. Whatever. You were making some noises as we started. Did you have dinner?
Yeah, it's not my stomach. It was my throat.
That echoed from somewhere deeper than your throat.
You know when you get those bubbles in your throat? Like when you go to swallow and it's like bubbles.
Yeah. Yeah. Those bubbles came from your tongue.
No, it's from the drink that I drank. Stop. You're not listening to me. I said my throat.
I try not to most days. Anyways, we'll stop crabbing at each other. How the heck are you?
I had a horrible day. You already know this. I broke my water bottle.
Like actually broke.
Yeah, because I've already talked about it. Then if you didn't know, if you have an inhaler and it cracks, there's an extreme amount of liquid in an inhaler that I never understood. And it's yellow dye and it stains everything. So I don't know if it's good for us to be putting into our lungs, but it cracked in my backpack and it flooded everywhere. And when I mean flooded, it was pouring out of the ends and the bottoms. I know I sound like I'm being dramatic, but I'm not. My fingers, my whole hands, you can't really see. They're stained yellow. The counter at work, it stained the counter at work yellow.
Okay, this is so dumb, but like I've never thought about the fact that it's a liquid.
I didn't know that either, but then I was like, it is.
Like when you give it 2 seconds of thought, it makes sense.
Right, but it's the amount of liquid that is an inhaler is very stupid. So I ruined my backpack and my water bottle within 2.5 seconds of each other. And it took me an hour and a half to get to work today because it's a fucking blizzard, even though it's spring.
On the second day of spring.
Cute. That's my day. What about yours?
If it makes you feel any better, I'm still just recovering from throwing out my back on my birthday week here. Really feeling that 31.
Yep.
Okay, so I haven't told you this yet, but my anxiety gets really bad at night, right? Mm-hmm. And I was just kind of going through, like, before I went to bed, I was filling out my calendar for next month in May because we planned that trip for May and we have everything for April. And I was thinking about our overnight at Eloise, and I just got this immense panic. Like, the reality of the fact set in that we're going to be locked in there for 12 hours. And I went from, like, excitement to, like, oh, my God, I'm actually kind of scared.
I know, me too.
But I'm also very
me
excited.
Me too. You know what I just keep thinking? What am I going to wear? Like, what's going to get me to be, I could be agile and, like, run and fight if I need to? Leggings.
You need to go, like, black turtleneck, black leggings.
I'm literally going to wear...
Just go full James Bond.
I'm literally going to wear a black sweatshirt and black leggings.
See? I knew it.
But then I'm like, what shoes do I wear? I want to be able to run. I need to.
Listen, you just got to outrun me, and it's not that hard.
Oh, I will fucking push you. I'll push you and run.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness. All right, well...
You can't do that. Push one of the randos.
No. I hope there's no lamers. I don't have...
Anytime you have a group of people, there's always one.
Yeah, but...
We'll just ignore them and push them down.
Today's not the time I want to be about lamers. Anyway, speaking of not lamers, shout out to Mariel for always making us fucking laugh. And she messaged...
Mariel, you killed us this week.
She messaged us saying that her five-year-old... I think her daughter's five-year-old... While she was listening to that episode of the BEK episode, we were talking about if a kid or anyone asks you for ketchup for their apple, and her daughter was playing chef and was having ketchup and apples, and she sent us a picture of it on her plate. And she said she tried it for us. It was a 1 out of 10 she would not recommend.
1 out of 10.
And now she's afraid to search in Google to see if her daughter's a BEK, which I was like, your daughter's not a BEK.
Listen, Mariel, we like to think of ourselves as professionals and we're going to diagnose her as not a BEK, but we also appreciate the laugh.
Like, you are not the father. You are not a BEK. Oh, God. That made me laugh so hard. I was at work and I was just chuckling. And then you text me and was like, Mariel has me dying.
Oh, my gosh. It really made my day.
Oh, okay. So.
All right. What do you got for me this week? Okay.
I had to take a drink.
I'm just going to edit it out. I don't even know why you announce it.
Okay. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Ask me one more time if I'm ready.
Oh, that was one time. Well, you asked me like 18 times. What's your question?
Do you know what phrenology is?
I do, because I feel like we talked about it. And I'm like,
no, I've never heard of this in my life.
I just talked about it with somebody, and then I was like, no, I've never heard of that. And they told me what it was. I feel like I just are you sure it wasn't you? Anyways, I remember I just had this conversation with somebody, and they told me what it was. And like a typical man. Nope, I don't remember a few days later.
No, it was not me, because I just learned about this when I was doing this episode. So that's weird if you were talking about this. Okay. In the 17 and early 1800s, phrenology was the idea and study that the bumps on a person's head were linked to specific personality traits. Is that what you're thinking of?
I talked about it at my acupuncture appointment.
Oh, fun. Okay.
That's what it was.
That's crazy. That's so fucking weird.
Because that was just last week. Okay. I was going to say, I know I had just talked about this with somebody.
That's so fucking weird.
I mean, it's just one of the synchronicities.
I know, but it's a weird one. Because, like, what are the chances? Okay. So, German physician Franz Josef Gall was working the theory of organology. And later, the name phrenology was popularized by his assistant. And I'm going to butcher this. So, assistant physician, and his name was Johann Gaspar Spurheim. We're going to go with that.
Good enough.
Okay. So basically, they would have tarot readings, but for your head, skull readings.
Interesting.
Okay. So Gull would measure the skull of people in prisons, hospitals, asylums, and not just measure, you know, he would do all his things. And if you had an odd...
Wait, he did like all the ratios, right? Mm-hmm.
And if you had an odd-shaped head, he really wanted to touch it.
Ooh.
Okay, so by doing this, he came up with 27 different faculties that he believed corresponded to a particular region of the head, okay? And this later became 35. And I'm going to quickly go through all these 35, very quickly. Okay.
All 35 of them?
Really quickly.
Okay.
What if I just went... really slow just to piss you off.
No, just get out of it.
Okay. So
number one.
Some of them are weird words. Imitativeness, which is, you want me to tell you what they each mean or just go, I'm gonna go. Okay. Philoprogrammativeness of cognoscentiveness, adhesiveness, combativeness, destructiveness, secretiveness, constructiveness. Again, I just already said that. Self-esteem, love, consciousness, benevolence. Firmness. I'm actually scrolling really fast. I'm not reading them all because there's too many. Hope, wonder, wit, imagination, individuality, form, size, weight, coloring, locality, number, order, time, tune, language. Okay, you get the picture. There's so many different ones. And he basically would just do all these studies. Like I said, if you had an odd head, he really wanted to study you. And he would basically just go to prisons, asylums, all these places, and
do I remember this right too, like each of the 35 like things have a different spot in your brain?
Yeah,
like, wasn't he was figuring out how the brain works?
Well, he thought that they corresponded specifically, like each spot to a different trait. Okay, cool,
gotcha.
All right, so in August 1864 in Garnett, Kansas, a town lecture, they had a town lecture to discuss the science of this. Okay, so this drew a majority of the town to join, including Mary. Now, phrenology isn't really have too much to do with what we're talking about, but I found it really interesting, so I wanted to add it. So Mary goes to this lecture, okay? And Mary is the daughter of widower Miss Adeline Duren, okay? And while Mary was at the lecture, her brother, I had to look this up because I thought it was silent, but it's Jonas or Junus. And I was like, that doesn't sound right. I thought the J was going to be silent, and it was caught me off guard. Junus.
I dig it.
Junus. Whatever.
Junus.
Okay. So Mary goes to this lecture. Junus was away on a business, so leaving Adeline home alone. A nice, relaxing day of reading and solidarity. Sounds so great. Mary later returned from the lecture with unease as she noticed open doors to the house. Okay. The relaxing book she was reading was left on the floor, illuminated by the lamps still lit. Close by was a pool of blood. Unfortunately, her body was found in the northeast corner of the house. So without going into too much detail of the horrifying circumstances, it was obviously that she was murdered.
Got it.
Later, bloody clothes of John Warren were found in the neighboring Garnett House Hotel. John was living in the attic and he worked for D.W. Houston, the original builder of the Garnett House Hotel. So upon questioning John, it was found that blood was on his legs and shoes, provoking a confession. So John was executed the next day at 1 p.m., bringing in the largest public gathering Garnett had at the time. Yeah.
Wow, they really wasted no time. Yeah,
and so they didn't even have a jail in the town. So they just hung him from like beams or whatever of like what was being built for the jail.
Do you want ghosts?
Okay, so now I will note that John was an African-American man, and a lot of people think that he was framed.
Okay.
And
yep. I was going to say, you know, that whole like fair and speedy trial. Yeah. I don't know about fair, but speedy they had down.
So tragic shit. Before the tragic death of Adeline, there was Sarah Potter, and she was described as a large, healthy, fine-looking lady. Would you like that to be your identifier? Large, healthy, fine-looking.
I mean, I probably wouldn't be explained as, you know, a lady, but
what if they
large and healthy,
large,
probably.
Healthy, fine-looking.
Do you feel the most powerful and beautiful with the elements of the earth around you? Do you like one-of-a-kind jewelry? Do you sometimes feel like a woodland fairy? Me too. That's why I created Holly and Hemlock, a magical shop filled with handmade wooden jewelry and metaphysical tools. Come check out our enchanting wooden wares at www.hollyhemlock.com and join us in honoring the magic and beauty of nature with each unique creation. That's www.hollyhemlock.com.
You know, as a chunky boy, I take it.
You are on a health journey and you're doing very well. So I don't even know if you can call yourself a chunky boy no more.
I mean, give me a couple more weeks. We'll see. There's still
wait. You could like you could get it back.
No, there's still plenty of health.
You made it sound like give you a couple more weeks and you'll get it back.
No, we're getting rid of this doughiness.
Okay, so Sarah Potter lived with the Eldermans, Henry and Hannah. And why is it annoying when couples have the same letter to their first initial? Henry and Hannah Elderman.
You are so annoyed by pointless shit.
Henry had noticed that Sarah had the hots for the local named Leon Phillips. So he pushed a romance between the two. Little matchmaker over here. Now, Leon was described as an industrious young man of good character and had considerable property. You take that identifier.
Considerable property? Yeah, that makes
me sound rich. Industrious young man of good character. And he had considerable property. Yeah, you take it. Okay.
It's pleasant.
Okay, so in 1860, they were wed, okay? From what I read...
Wed.
What did you think I said?
What? This is going great. All right. Wed, not wet.
They were wet. In 1860, they were wet.
Who wasn't?
Okay. So this is a very unhinged episode already. I'm so sorry, everybody. Okay. From what I read, newlywed bliss didn't last. It seemed that the relationship with the Eldermans didn't really help their marriage. I don't know what that necessarily means, but from what I'm gathering, I think that like Sarah kind of just liked to hang out with her friends.
Okay.
The couples would like go back and forth to each other's residence, and to outsiders, it seemed like a blissful marriage and a friendship between all four of them. 6 weeks into the marriage, Leon got sick. It was said to be suspicious as Sarah was adamant that he draw up a will. So he did, dividing half of his property to his brother and the other half to Sarah. He died a few hours later.
Oh.
So either she had impeccable timing of like, hey, you should probably make a will before something happens, like while you're sick.
Nobody has that kind of impeccable timing. That's like the signature move of taking out the life insurance policy.
So it was more suspicious of Sarah when she met the elder, or she sent the Eldermans to check on the details of the will just hours after he was placed into the ground. So she was like, hey, can you go check on all the details? Like, when do I get this land?
Oh, God. Right. She moves quick.
Yeah. So days after Leon's death, town crew grew worried that foul play was had, and they made a complaint because it's 1860. You just like make complaints to people. It's so crazy. Okay. It's just because there's no law or anything. They're just like, let's complain. And then it just like went to some town official that was like, yeah, okay. The body was exhumed and an autopsy found arsenic poisoning. Shocker.
I was going to say arsenic like that. quick death. Yeah.
Originally, Sarah and the Aldermans were all arrested in the thought that it was a collaborative conspiracy to kill him.
Well, when you're sending them down to the well, right? Yeah.
Right. So the Aldermans were eventually released and found innocent. In the town of Garnett in 1860, there wasn't a jail. Like I said earlier, there wasn't a jail. So Sarah was held in the Garnett House Hotel. She was held there for 3 months and was allowed to have visitors, host and entertain in the hotel. You know, just whatever. She just had to stay there. But Sarah pretty easily ended up escaping again. Shocker.
Doesn't seem like it'd be that difficult.
No. I'm not really sure why, but in 1862, she returns back to Kansas, which if you got away with murder and escaped, like, why would you go back? I'm not really sure. So she comes back and she's like remarried. Another shocker. And she was arrested and a trial was held. However, the jury couldn't come to a conclusion and she was acquitted, which like, I don't know. It's just crazy.
Oh, now they have a whole jury.
Right. Exactly. They don't have
a white woman.
They don't have a jail or anything. It's just crazy. And she like was suspicious and escaped. I mean, if she was innocent, I would have just stayed there. I mean, whatever. They're allowing me to throw parties and have people over. You probably don't have to pay rent.
For real, though.
You probably don't have to pay rent because you're being held there.
Yeah, a little per diem party action.
Okay. So before Sarah, there was John Brown. John was a favorite. He probably was a favorite. He was a famous abolitionist. And for those that forgot, an abolitionist is a person who favors the abolition of a practice or institution, especially capital punishment or slavery.
Yep.
John hid slaves traveling from Missouri in the attic of the Garnett House Hotel until it was safe for them to escape to Canada, making this part of the Underground Railroad operation. So he did. So he did a lot of work. Like, he's really well known for that kind of work. So
the name sounds familiar. Mm-hmm.
So after Adeline, Sarah and John in the 1950s were a husband and wife doctor duo. And their names I cannot find. I don't know why. They're in every single article about how they're an infamous doctor duo or, you know, like a white husband wife duo. And I cannot find their names anywhere. And I find that so bizarre. But anyway, their practice operated out of the Garnett House Hotel, each having a practice of their own throughout the house. So you could go to them for pretty much anything. Delivering your babies, your dying operations, whatever.
How big is this building?
Let me keep going, please.
Okay.
They even had a pharmacy and a laboratory. So this practice continued into the 21st century until the husband died. So for whatever reason, and this I don't understand, the practice kept a secretary staffed and on payroll for years after it closed. Can you imagine being like, I'm going to go to work every single day, even though this practice is closed, but I'm literally getting paid to just sit here for no apparent reason.
Was she actually having to go, or were they just paying her? No, like, she was going. We're closing down and feel bad.
And I don't get it. Like, I can't think of, like, I was actually trying to find it. And I was also trying to like understand what would the thought process in that be?
Yeah. The only thing I could think of is like, if she was a family friend and you felt bad for closing it down, like, all right, we'll pay you a couple more years, but you know, the business isn't open, but I don't see why you'd have to show up.
Yeah, I don't know. The only other thought I could think is like, yeah, if they didn't want to, I don't know. Okay. Well, if you haven't already put it together, all these stories have one place in common and is the 1858 Garnett House Hotel.
I hadn't put that together.
You didn't. You're dumb.
I need my phrenology read.
Okay.
Where's my dumb zone?
Built in Kansas in 1858 on sacred native land sat on the highest point of elevation was the Garnett House.
Oh, say no more. It's haunted.
Built by D.W. Houston. D.W.'s wife refused to stay in the house once it was built because she said it swayed. And it's weird because the house is still structurally sound today. So the thought is that maybe because it was at the highest point of elevation at that time, and maybe like a storm came through, it freaked her out. But regardless, that same year, the house then became a 15-room hotel.
Okay.
They barely even stayed into this. He had this wonderful house mansion thing built, and she's like, yeah, no, I'm not doing it.
And he's like, happy wife, happy life. We're out of here.
Exactly. So, and I'm pretty sure that his son, he gave it to his son to operate, I'm pretty sure, once it got to a hotel. But then I saw some parts that said he operated it, so I'm not quite sure. I think he just stayed in the family. Okay, so this is where we cue John Brown and his amazing work he did to free the slaves. And by 1860, we get the Black Widow murderess Sarah poisoning her husband. 1864 brings us the tragic death of Adeline and the possible framing of John Warren. And then during the 1870s, the house saw a plethora of famous guests. Buffalo Bill, Belle Starr, which she's a renowned female cowboy, Jesse James, oh. Houdini, that's just to name a few. So it was jumping. And then in 1885, orphan children actually called the 1858 Garnett House their temporary home. So basically the house switched careers over and over and over again. And then once again, it switched in 1850 when we got our doctor duo. Over all the years, the 1858 Garnett House Hotel has been said to have been a house, a hotel, a school, an orphanage, an apartment, a jail, a brothel, a KKK meeting place, which is crazy because it also was part of the Underground Railroad.
I was going to say, that's two different ends of the spectrum right there.
And a doctor's office. That's insane. That's so many things. Can you guess what this only surviving antebellum structure in this town is now?
Is it a haunted house?
Ding, ding, ding. The 1858 Garnett Demon House, to be exact.
I feel, when you were saying like Houdini and Jesse James and stuff, I feel like I have heard of this one.
So, before we even get any further, I just wanted, there's just, I don't know why. I know there's like a lot of history and a lot of older houses, but I was like, why is this so jam-packed with just so much?
I mean, throughout the time, it kind of makes sense. It would be a few different businesses. But yeah, like it's a lot.
It's like, okay, we held a murderer lady there just because we had nowhere else to put her. Like, maybe a man that murdered a woman lived in the
attic.
There
weren't that many buildings. Okay.
KKK met in the basement. But then helped slaves be freed and hid them in the attic. I don't think it was at the same time.
I would hope not.
It's not funny. Okay.
It's a lot going on.
I know. That's my point. It was like wild. So as I do most Sundays, I was watching Twin Paranormal and they visited this house and hearing the history, like I was just saying, and some of like all the wild things that happened, I was like really intrigued. So then I also watched another paranormal group that visited. They're called the Paranormal Files. In both videos, they did a really great job of like giving you a bunch of the history from both. So shout out to them. They did a really great job. Okay. In 2017, Justin Spurrier bought the house for the purpose of it being a haunted location. This is funny. So when he was being shown the house, the realtor and himself heard a little girl's voice. And she was like obviously unnerved and like ready to leave. And he's like, "You heard that right?" And she's like, "Yeah." And like she wanted to leave, but he said that finalized the sale for him.
I mean, honestly, it would do the same for me.
I mean, if that's what your purpose is you're getting a haunted location. He already owns another one in Kansas. So this was like another haunted property that he wanted to have. So it's funny. But she's like all freaked out. And she's probably like, "Oh God, I hope he didn't hear that because like he won't buy this house if he knows it's haunted." And he's just like, "Where do I sign?
This is it."
Okay. So now let's get into some of the things that commonly happen here. Multiple people that do investigations, I was reading a lot in like the couple of videos I watched, they state that this house has objects moved more than any location that they've ever been to. Like people were saying that like they've been to locations where they're like, "Hey, I think that moved," or whatever, but this is like, there's no doubt things moved or was thrown at you or tossed or whatever. And it's like a lot.
Did it say like what typically moves or just everything?
Yeah, a lot of stuff. I think, oh, here, actually, my next line is so because obviously it's just creepy. They have like dolls around the house, like placed throughout the house. And the dolls are often dropped or thrown off of wherever they are placed. So like they'll just like come crashing down off of like a shelf or like wherever they're at. So that happens quite a bit. Like there's a lot of videos of that. It's said that the energy changes daily in the house. Like they'll go in there and it'll feel great and awesome. And then, you know, the next day it just feels dark and just like really, really bad. And Justin said that it's like the house is playing hide and seek. Like you'll be looking and looking and looking and like it'll be playing hide and seek with you until it shows itself. And it always shows itself. Like it might take a while, but you're always going to get something. Like you're never going
to
visit.
Such a creepy way to describe it.
Yes, the house is playing hide and seek with you until it shows itself, is what he said. And I had chills. Nope. And like I said, he's like, it always shows itself. It might take an hour. Sometimes it takes 30 seconds of you walking in, but you're always going to get something. They do often hear boots walking on the porch a lot, to the point where a lot of the guests are like, or I shouldn't say guests, but people, well, yeah, people that are visiting are always like, is somebody, like they're expecting somebody to be walking up or walk in, or at least the door, somebody knock on the door, but no one will be there. But it's like one of those, like, you know, where you're adamant, like, no, that's a person.
Right. Like, you just know.
It's one of those, like, where they're like, okay, yeah, somebody's walking up on the porch or whatever. Nope. Disembodied voices are often heard a lot to the naked ear, and they're also on a lot of EVPs. And I don't know why that really creeps me out. And I don't know
what EVP
is. No, disembodied voices. And I don't like the word disembodied. I understand it, but it just creeps me out.
Ooh. What would you prefer?
Just voices. They're just voices. Just because they're...
Yeah, but voices could imply they came from somebody who's still embodied. Ghostly voices.
If you Google voices, I bet you the definition doesn't say embodied.
I'll take you up on that bet later.
Okay. So people are often hissed at. And this would send me because, like, don't hiss. That's so rude. Can you?
You'd go in and teach him a thing or two about manners.
Can you imagine being hissed at and you don't?
I mean,
know?
I live with a cat.
Yeah, but like you can see Small's cute little face.
Yes, it doesn't really hiss much. Sometimes I hiss at Julia, but that's just when she turns all the lights on and we are like not an overhead light household.
Yeah,
but that's more of like a vampire hiss than like a cat hiss.
Well, don't hiss at me, ghosts. Okay. Because of the objects being thrown often, it's of course related to like poltergeist activity. However, objects aren't the only things that are being touched. Along with touching and poking, there are some pushing. They like to touch and poke you and push you. So
poking and pushing. It's all happening at the garden house.
Yeah. So if you're at the top of the stairs, Justin suggests that you don't have your back towards the stairwell because people often feel like they're like something's trying to push them down.
Ooh.
So not necessarily if you're walking up the stairs, but if you're at the top of the stairs and you're just kind of like standing there, that's when people are like, they feel like something's okay. Trying to push them down. Ugh.
Don't like that.
I hate it. Okay. He was talking about an encounter one time where this creeps me up, where he was leaving the house. Okay. And he said that it's not a Tesla, but it's like, he has like all the, whatever, it's a Jaguar, he said. And it has like the features where it'll show people walking in front, like on the screen. You know how they always show Tesla, show like the person. And it says, if you take it through a car.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So he's in his car, right? So he's leaving the house. He gets in his car and he turns it on and the sensor is showing like there's somebody walking in front of his car. This is creepier.
Got it.
This is creepier. Then in the passenger seat, the sensor goes off, you know, where it shows like the airbag sensor, like there's pressure, somebody's sitting, that fucking goes off. So somebody
was just going for a ride.
Right. So somebody walked in front of his car and got in. Listen, he was just, trying to hitch a ride somewhere.
There are places to be, man.
That's can't so fault the dead creepy. For that. I know, but it's so creepy when you can visually see the sensors of things going off and you're like, oh shit, they're following me.
It's when it's time to pull out the Florida water. Yeah.
Okay, so him and his family will camp on the property sometimes. So one night he was giving a tour for a team that was doing an investigation, and him and his wife were going to be camping on the property. So his wife was in the tent, and so she called him and asked like what he was doing with the lamp. And he's like, well, I'm upstairs in the house. Like, what lamp? Like, what are you talking about? And in the video, he's really funny. He's like, I'm an old man walking around with like a lamp. Like, what do you think I'm doing? Right. And so she's like, she said it looked like in the tent, because it was dark out, all she could see was somebody like walking around the tent, but all she could see was like the light, like a lantern light.
Mm-hmm.
And he was looking out the window at the tent while he was on the phone with her and he couldn't see anything. And she was watching.
Oh, he couldn't see it at all.
No, she only could, but he was looking out the window and could see her tent. And she's like, I'm watching it right now. It's like in front of the tent, like walking, and he couldn't see it.
That's uncomfortable.
Isn't that weird?
Like, I don't know. If I was in that tent, I feel like I'd feel a little bit more comfortable if somebody was validating me and make me not feel crazy. But like, if you're talking to somebody who's literally looking at you and not seeing the same thing you're experiencing.
Yeah. Oh, that's
terrifying.
Yeah, what's that all about? That's weird. During a lot of investigations, people claim to get EVPs and other evidence that John Warren is innocent and he was framed for that murder. Which he probably was. Let's get real. It's so sad. And then there's also like kind of randomly an entity that goes by David. And he likes to take a lot of credit for all the things that happen in the house. So shout out to David.
How does he take the credit?
Because like he'll say he's doing it. Like, a little jokester. Okay. Little fucker. He probably just...
Well, I was kind of feeling like a prankster spirit when you were saying yeah. like, the way the energy plays hide and seek and that kind of stuff.
Throws dolls at you and shit. Okay, so the basement, I guess, is like kind of often forgotten upon investigations because of everything else that goes on in the house. People kind of forget to even go investigate the basement, probably just because they're scared, because I would be. But if you do go to the basement, it has a lot of childlike activity. We know how I feel about that. It could be real or something.
Like, you love children.
Yeah, something posing as a child. And that's just not what we want. And also, there was like KKK members doing weird shit down there. So why would we? Let's not go down there. And also in the basement, many times you see glowing eyes. So glowing eyes no. and children. I'll stay upstairs with David. Okay. Are you ready for the worst part of being at the 1858 Garnett House Hotel?
Ask me one more time if I'm ready.
Well, this is the first time I asked you if you're ready for the worst part.
You've said it every other time. Yeah, but it's only I'm funny just repeating when I say what I thought.
Okay.
Oh my God. I am ready.
Okay. The Grinner.
Nope. I'm not ready.
Yeah. The Grinner is a human slash beast, never fully one or the other, which is creepier than just being half or whatever. You know what I mean? It's like you're just never one or the other. Ugh. It has long, bony, strange fingers, and sometimes he's seen with hooves. It has razor-sharp teeth, and if you see it, it grins from ear to ear, showing off those razors. Ew.
That's a demon.
It's tall and it's about the height of a ceiling.
It kind of reminds me of when we were talking about the full moon, that like weird half horse creature thing.
Yeah, but this is not. I don't know.
Yeah, that thing just left some jewelry. This seems a lot more devious.
I'll take the jewelry.
Right.
The Grinner is usually in one particular room, and in that room there's like a wall bookshelf. You know what I'm talking about? Like it's a really tall bookshelf kind of on the whole entire wall.
Kind of built in.
It's not really built in, but it's just really big. Whatever. I don't know what I'm talking about. It tends to lean against it while grinning. Like casually leaning like with its... Oh my God. Can you... I don't even know what I would do if I saw that thing grinning at me. But the fact that it's just like...
You would push me forward and you would run away.
The fact though that it's just like nonchalantly leaning on the bookshelf while grinning... Is
maybe it likes books.
So terrifying. Yeah, okay. It will physically attack you or make you feel a type of way, as I'm sure you can imagine. How are you feeling?
Uncomfortable.
I know, I don't even like talking about
it. Like, I kind of wanted to go until this part, because like the trickster, the prankster stuff, that all sounds fun.
I know. Okay.
I'm thinking this grinning thing is probably the cause of some of our deaths over the years.
Right. Okay, so people get haunted by just watching live streams of the house.
Oh.
So Justin received separate emails from different people, and like he said, different states, you know.
Who's Justin again?
He's the owner.
Okay.
The current owner. He basically said he got all these emails about people that watched the live streams. Four of the claims from the emails stated that they watched it and like paranormal experiences started happening for them after. And three of the four sent a drawing with their letter of what they saw. And it matches the Grinner. And at the time, Justin hadn't shared about the Grinner. And he has a picture. So if you, I can send you the link. But if you watch the video, he does have a picture now that somebody drew of what they saw. And it matches like all the other emails, but he has it in the house. It is fucking terrifying. And it's of him leaning against the bookshelf.
It's almost like it's like the manifestation of the dark energy of the house. Like, yeah. If it's being able to do that through the like streams and everything like that, like, it's just very odd.
Yeah. So the 1858 Garnett House could be haunted by original Native tribes, the land it belonged to, maybe slaves that came to visit. I don't know why they'd be mean, because it was a safe spot. The alleged murderer, John, Sarah, the husband killer, orphan children that want to play. Patients that maybe took their last breath in that location, or like you just said, all of it, just all of them in one.
Probably a little bit.
So a brisk 12-hour drive and $350, we can go. You want?
Let's see how Eloise goes next month, and then let's.
I know, right? Okay, so I know this is probably a little bit shorter, but I just thought it was crazy. So we can kind of discuss, but like it was just weird to me that like there's.
So did they? Did they ever draw any ties between all like the weird deaths or explain any of that? Or is that just more of like, hey, these things happen?
Yeah, so it's just like a ton of the history. But I find like the history obviously makes all of the energy and stuff like that. So it's like,
right.
I feel like you said, it's all of that stuff had a, you know,
like the, yeah, that manifestation of the darkness.
Yeah, yeah. Sarah's a murderer and she was basically, yeah, she was kind of free, but she was imprisoned in the house. So all her, the hiccups, great. All her murderous energy was in there, right? But then you also had somebody that did live there and he was accused of being a murderer and probably wasn't. So that's just awful and sad. That energy is all bundled up in there. Then you had a bunch of orphan children living there. And I'm like glad that they got to stay there because it's nice. But like also that's sad. They're little orphans. So those are all horrible feelings.
Did I understand you correctly when you said it's like the last standing thing in that town still?
It's the last antebellum. What is it called? Antebellum structure? I can't say
that. What does that mean?
That's just the type of the house from that, okay, from that century.
Gotcha.
Antebellum. I can't say it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay. No. So it's just like, it's like the oldest structure. No, it's okay. It's like the older structure in the town.
Gotcha.
Because it's built in 1858.
Oh.
Yeah, that's why it's called the 18th.
Really? It's built.
Well,
I had no idea. Thank you.
You're dumb, clearly, so. But also, you could have just thought that that was the address.
I did not.
There are listeners that thought that was the address, and that's okay, because I played it off that way for the majority of the episode. Did you think it was the address?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you're looking at me like you're...
You said the 1858 Garnet House. You wouldn't say, like, my address, the...
What, like 160-something years old. So anyway, I was going to ask, but you kind of already said it. Like, what do you think? Do you think it's, like, a bunch of different things? Like, because the kids in the basement really could just be the orphan kids just playing around.
Yeah, no, it definitely seems like you have, like, some of, like, that childhood, some of the creepy energy, or, like, the... prankster energy, right? The trickster. That's the word I'm looking for. But like, I don't know what you know how I feel about like the Native American lore, right?
Oh, and I know
things that comes around with, right? So you have like something like the Grinner that's obviously bad natured.
Mm-hmm.
And has that maybe been there since the house started? Like, she didn't want to live in it originally.
See, that's
the builder's wife.
I'm glad that you brought that up, because that's kind of what I was thinking. I wonder if it wasn't that and it was something else that she just didn't want to say. Like, oh, it's not, you
right.
know, it doesn't feel safe here. It would be easier. Like, it's
when you have that much history of like odd deaths and murders and everything like that, much negativity, like there's something almost feeling like around the land, maybe more than the house itself, that made it that way.
Yeah. And there's like so much other just crazy stuff and deaths that I didn't even get into. But like, you know, it was, like I said, a brothel. It was a jail a little bit, like for other people at some point. Like, it was so many different things. And so many people died in that house, especially when it became a doctor's office, because people just die when, you know, you're getting operated on and stuff like that. But like, I don't know why I just like can't get over how many things this house has been. I know that's dumb. And Kara's, it's Kara. Somebody's gonna be like, Kara, open a fucking book and read about other things, because there have been other things. I know. Shut the fuck up.
So, I think I've told you about the haunted B&B that my family almost bought growing up.
Yes.
It was the same thing. So
I
it
wish
was
you did.
At one point it was like there was a doctor office in there. At one point it was like a German chicken restaurant. Like it.
What the fuck?
I feel like those big prominent houses like that in small communities. It's just like, well, it's already here.
Yeah,
let's
make it this next thing. If you look it up, it's not even, it was at one point like a 15-room hotel, but like, you got to think that the rooms then, what they made them into, or they were small little things, you know what I mean? So like, it's not that big.
Yeah, because I pulled up right after you told me to be patient and wait to see how big it was, I pulled up a picture, and yeah, it's not what I was expecting.
No. Yeah, everyone should.
It's giving up very much like mining town building.
Yes. So yeah, no, I just thought this was interesting. And so I did try so hard to go deep down into Reddit to see if we had any like Reddit people that wrote about their experience there, but I couldn't find anything. So
definitely interesting. A new place to add to our road trip list.
So we'll just have to go so we can write on Reddit about it.
Yes.
But anyway, perfect. I agree. I do think it's probably a collection of a lot of things and energy, because there's just too much that happened there. Too much bad juju. But also a lot of fun things happen there too. So that's why I do think some days it's playful. It's like what wants to take over. And that's kind of what they say, is that the energy is completely different some days. Like some days it's like you can't... his son, Austin, he's like older teenager or whatever, but he's like, there are some days I walk in here and I'm the one that wanted to come and investigate. And he's just like, I have to go. I can't be here.
It kind of gives me that same vibe of like what Andrea Perrin was saying about the Conjuring House.
Yeah,
like
that's actually
the
a good
energies
point.
Are always changing. It's more of that ever portal flowing. Sort of place where things can just come through.
Yep, yep, yep. All right. Well, that was the 1858 Garnett House Hotel.
1858, the year, not the address. You heard it here, folks.
Oh my God.
Great job, Kara. So
can we get the fuck out of here?
Oh, you love me. All right. So with that being said, if you've ever gotten to visit the Garnett House and had any experiences of your own.
Not like the.
What did I say?
Garnet, like the gemstone. It's Garnett.
That
Garnett?
They're both spelled the exact same way.
No, Garnett is G-A-R-N-E-T. This is Garnett, G-A-R-N-E-T-T.
Oh, I'm so sorry. All right. Well, if you've had any experiences with the Garnett House.
I don't want you to get haunted. This is kind of like a live stream.
Let us know. Write in stories about other haunted houses you want to hear about. And what else should everybody do, Kara?
Subscribe, like, follow. Yeah, give us suggestions on stuff. If you got it to the... got here to the end. When you listen to this, whatever our last post is on Instagram, put a
house emoji.
Oh, yeah. Good idea. Put a house emoji. Okay. So yeah, put a house emoji and then we know that you came from this episode. Okay.
Perfect.
Yeah, we love you. Appreciate you. Do everything else we just asked you. Most importantly, creep it real, y'all balls.
Goodbye.
Bye.